إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We ask Allah's assistance and we seek Allah's forgiveness and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whosoever Allah allows to go astray, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention. May Allah grant him peace. Send his blessings upon him, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. O you who have believed, protect yourselves from the punishment of Allah by fearing him and loving him the way Allah deserves it. And do not die except in the state of total submission to Allah as Muslims. In our daily lives, we come across many complications, many decisions to be made. And the son of Adam is weak. The son of Adam lacks power, lacks strength, lacks intellect. And no matter how intelligent one may be, one is never able to make the right decisions concerning every matter in his life. And sometimes the decisions which we make are very crucial. And in many cases, they may destroy someone's career, or someone's life, or someone's Islam, or someone's family member. Some mistakes are very dangerous in decision making. And any businessman who's involved in business, any manager, any director, any CEO of a company understands the importance of making the correct decisions so that the business is not jeopardized. And when people do so in the business world, they usually also consult people of expertise, meaning they make an effort to make the right decision, then they consult people who are experienced in this field, hoping to make the right decision. And with that, the chances of being wrong are high, because the people whom you're consulting are also deficient. And there's one major factor in this whole formula, which is that of the unseen, that of the future. No matter what, you don't know the future, you don't know the unseen. You may calculate and analyze, evaluate, make a decision, thinking this is the right move, and a natural disaster will make everything you have done a major loss. You will invest in a business and that business gets burned down the next day with a fire. And there goes your business. Why? Even though you analyzed and you thought investing money in this company will be productive, the company got burned down because of a fire which no one can control or stop. The element of the unseen then is crucial in this process as well. So the question remains, how does a believer deal with this fact? What have we done concerning this fact when it comes to the decision making? You see, brothers in Islam, Islam did not leave anything, be it major or minor, which aids the Muslim in leading a normal, successful, comfortable life in this world, and similar and a better one in the life to come, except that Islam gave us precise instructions. The problem is, we don't act upon them. The problem is not that Islam failed to provide us with the solutions. The problem is that we don't seek these solutions. And when they are present, we don't utilize them. And we love to follow our desires. I think I've done this almost in every khutbah. The brother walks in and the adhan is being called. And the brother wants to stand and repeat after the muadhin, which is voluntary. You don't have to do it. The Sahaba, when Umar used to give khutbah, they will be speaking while the muadhin is calling the adhan. Until when Umar stood up and started to deliver the khutbah, everyone was silent. It is not obligatory to repeat after the muadhin, but it is obligatory for you to hear the khatib. So it does not make sense that you wait for him to finish and repeat after him. Then you want to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid while I'm screaming. Because now you fail to listen attentively because of your engagement in another act of worship. You should have prayed Tahiyyat al-Masjid upon entering, miss out on repeating after the muadhin, then listen attentively. And every time say, brother, pray, and he looks at you 15, 20 times. Ya Habibi, this is the deen of Allah. You're trying to be more cautious than the Messenger of Allah. You're more careful than the Messenger of Allah. Do you think he would have told us? Don't you think he would have told us, if the muadhin is calling the adhan, don't pray tahiyyat al-masjid until he's done? He never did that. So humble yourself. If you have another position, bring your evidence. If not, pray upon entering. Then listen to the khutbah. I'm giving you this an example because it happens every time, and because it's one of the reasons why we don't follow Islam. We are too arrogant, too prideful. But that is not acceptable for a Muslim. What did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instruct us concerning decision making in the future? We have something, ya akhwan, that no one in this world has. We have been blessed in such a way we can't even put it in words. It is beyond a human's imagination to have such facilitation from the creator of the heavens and the earth. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu narrates, and the hadith is collected in Bukhari in his Sahih, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يعلمنا صلاة الاستخارة أو كان يعلمنا الاستخارة كما يعلمنا السورة من القرآن فيقول إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر فليركع ركعتين من دون الفريضة ثم فليقل أن he narrated the dua. He used to teach us in the beginning of the hadith to do istikhara in all of our affairs. Istikhara is derived from two words, khiyar, ikhtiyar, and khayr aw khayra, khiyara. Different words in the Arabic language, that's none of our business now. The bottom line is it has to do with khayr, goodness, and ikhtiyar, choice. Basically, you're asking Allah for the good choice. He said he used to teach us istikhara in all of our affairs. And he used to teach us the dua of istikhara like he would teach us the surah from the Quran. And you know how many of the Sahaba had memorized the whole Quran. And the importance they used to give to the Quran. They had an equivalent value for salatul istikhara and dua al-istikhara. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if one of you intends on doing something, then let him pray two units of prayer, which is other than the obligatory. This can only be in Fajr. Meaning the only time you can pray it is in Fajr. Otherwise, all the other salawat are either 4 or 3. You pray any voluntary prayer, and you intend in this voluntary prayer to do Salatul Istikhara. The niyyah is a condition prior to the initiation of the act of worship. You can't begin the Salat and say, let me make an Istikhara. No, Istikhara must be intended prior to engaging in the Salat. Any two voluntary, Tahiyatul Masjid, the Sunnah before Fajr, before Dhuhr, after Maghrib, whatever. Any two units of prayer which are not obligatory, then you engage in them with the intention of praying Salatul Istikhara. Now, notice something here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ, if you've already made up your mind to do something. I'm saying this because many people have a misconception. They think Istikhara is when you're confused, which is incorrect. Meaning, somebody's telling you come to Pakistan, and the other one is saying come to India. And now you don't know, should you go to Pakistan or India, so you pray Istikhara? No. It does not work this way. The hadith doesn't say when you're confused, it says when you've decided to do something. You've made up your mind to go to India for vacation. However, do you know whether that is good for you or not? No, you don't. After you've made up your mind, now you do Salatul Istikhara. If you call the airlines and they tell you, sorry, no booking whatsoever, know that Allah has chosen for you what is good. And if suddenly there are bookings and you're able to get a seat, then know that Allah chose for you what is good. So it is after deciding about something that you do istikhara, not when you're confused. Which car would you buy? 3 or 4 cars? So you do istikhara for all? No. Each car you intend on buying, you do an istikhara for that car. If Allah facilitates the purchase, alhamdulillah. If Allah doesn't facilitate it, alhamdulillah. Because both are from Allah. You learn this from the wording of the hadith. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. Oh Allah, I seek the goodness from your knowledge. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. And then you ask Allah, and from the power, from the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Verily, O Allah, you know you are able and I'm not. You have the power, I don't. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. O Allah, you know and I know not. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the knower of the unseen. You are submitting to Allah, informing Him that you want Allah to guide you to what is good. Because Allah knows and you don't. Allah has the power and you don't. You're begging Allah to guide you to that which is correct. Then you go on to say, to mention the thing. Allahumma in kana hadha al-amru. Allah, if this matter, then you mention it. For example, you want to marry, her name is Aisha, or whatever her name is. Oh Allah, if my marriage to mention her by name, khayrun li, is good for me, fi dini, in my faith, in my religious commitment, wa ma'ashi, and my livelihood. وَعَقِبَةِ أَمْرِي, and the aftermath of my affair, meaning what happens after in this life and in the life to come. فَقْدُرْهُ لِي. Oh Allah, then decree it and destine it for me. وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي. Oh Allah, facilitate it for me. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي, and bless it for me. Then you continue to say, oh Allah, if you know this, and you repeat the same thing, شَرٌ لِي, if it is evil for me in my faith and religion, in my livelihood and in my life to come, فَبَاعِدُوا عَنِّي, then move it away from me and move me away from it. وَيَسِّرْ لِي الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانْ ثُمَّ رَضِّنِي بِهِ, then facilitate goodness wherever it may be and then make me pleased with it. Amazing dua. This dua is a manifestation of the relationship between the slave and his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a manifestation of the slavery to Allah. Because you're declaring your weakness, you're declaring your inability, you're declaring your the things that you don't know about, and you're relying upon Allah to guide you to that which is good for you, to that which is better for you. So whosoever makes this dua, when to make it, the scholars have differed. Some of them say you make it before the taslim, meaning after you do the tashahud, then as-salatul ibrahimiyya, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إلى آخره. Some of the ulama say, then you make that dua, then you make the taslim. Because we have evidence that the best dua is the one you make during sujood and then the one you make before taslim. Other ulama said that you do the taslim of the salah, then you make this dua after the salah. Both are acceptable. Because the hadith does not mention or does not impose when it is done, as long as it is associated with these two rak'at. So if you wish to do it before the taslim, go ahead. You wish to do it after the taslim, go ahead. But it must be associated with that ibadah, with that act of worship. The one who does so, no matter what happens to him, it is good. Even if he dies. What is better? That you die and go to Jannah, or that you live long and you go to Jahannam? Ultimately, it is dying. One may die in a way that the people don't appreciate, but to Allah, he is a martyr. The one who drowns is a martyr. The one who dies of a stomach disease is a martyr. The one upon whom a construction falls is a martyr. In Islam, the martyrs are not only those who fight in the cause of Allah and die. The martyrs are many according to the Prophet ﷺ, even if they differ in their degree with Allah. So someone may do istikhara, go to a place and die. And the people think that the istikhara was no good. La wallah, this was good for him. Because that for him is better with Allah in the life to come. We don't know. And in the second part of the khutbah, we will elaborate on an ayah which comes hand in hand with this hadith and some of the benefits of applying istikhara in our daily lives. وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ الْهِدَايَةَ وَالتَّوْفِيقَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This ayah is amazing for the one who reflects. Listen to the Creator who created you addressing you, telling you directly, you may hate something and it is good for you, and you may love something and it is evil for you. Verily Allah knows and you know not. Think about it. You may hate something and it is good for you. You hate medicine because it doesn't taste good, but it is good for you because Allah made it means of healing and treatment. And you may love something like a cake with a lot of sugar, but you have diabetes and that may kill you, but it is bad for you. Allah knows and you know not. This particular ayah makes the life of the believer unlike the life of any other creature on earth. The non-Muslims can never share with us this particular privilege, because the believer relies upon Allah Azza wa Jal, believing in this ayah, believing that the things which Allah made difficult are good for us. If we only knew, if we only knew that the things which are difficult are the things which are good, and the things which are easy are usually the things which are not good. We always want the easy and we don't want the difficult. It's easy to pray in the 15th row, but it is not easy to pray in the first row. But even though you hate to come early to the salah, it is good for you. And even though you love to be lazy and come late, it is bad for you. Allah knows and you know not. Had we really known, we would have acted differently, but we really don't know. We may have heard it from the khatib, heard it from the lecturer, read it in a book about the virtue of the first row. Yeah, we know that, but we really don't know. That's like someone who knows how to do CPR, and then he sees someone dying and he doesn't do anything. And when we ask him later, why did you not try to save this soul? He will say, mommy, I don't know, I know how to do it. So what benefit is there if you knew it, if you didn't do anything about it? Knowledge necessitates action. We know, but we really don't know. The true believer is the one who knows and does something about that which he knows. So my brothers in Islam, this istikhara is accompanied with another thing. Shura, consultation. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, مَا خَابَ مَنْ إِسْتَخَارَ اللَّهِ وَشَاوَرَ النَّاسِ. He will never fail the one who seeks goodness from Allah and he consults the people. The ulama and the sahaba used to say, after you do the istikhara, you go ahead and start asking the people whom you trust. The religiously committed people, the people who are experienced in that field. You don't have to dream about anything as many people think. They pray istikhara, go to sleep, they say a pigeon, you know, they see a pigeon flying, he comes the next day, say, khalas, I'm going to, you know, this country. Why? I saw a pigeon flying. Yaqi, what does that have to do with your istikhara? The istikhara is either facilitation or lack of facilitation. Dreams have nothing to do with it. It's a misconception among the Muslims that dreams have something to do with istikhara. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba never spoke about any dreams. They would do istikhara if one of them wanted to buy a pair of shoes. In fact, let me be more exact, sandals. A pair of sandals, they would do istikhara. They don't know, are these sandals good for them or not? They weren't waiting for any dreams. It was just like that. Natural. You do istikhara in anything, ya akhwan. You want to buy a car. You want to move from one location to another. From one business to another. From one country to another. You want to marry a woman. Anything, anything which you don't know the future of, which is everything, you do istikhara concerning, except haram. You don't do istikhara concerning something which Allah made haram. That is restricted to things which are obligatory and things which Allah loves. Nothing that is haram, you need an istikhara for. You don't do an istikhara to see whether you should stay with your girlfriend or leave her. Because there's no istikhara there, you should leave her. End of story. If you want to marry a woman, you pray istikhara. If you do so, you will be the most content human being in this world. Why? No matter what happens, you know it is good for you. Whether the thing which you asked about, whether the thing which you sought Allah's goodness in, was good, what happened or it didn't happen, you know that in both cases it was from Allah. In comparison to the affair of the disbeliever, who's living the life, you know, he's afraid. The disbeliever is afraid of everything. Nature and the creator of nature and superstition and all kinds of things that make him live a life of someone who is mentally disabled, mentally unstable. The believer does not have this attitude towards life. So my brothers in Islam, this abandoned sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be brought back into our lives. Must be brought back into our lives, because the whole Muslim ummah is in need to seek guidance from the one who created everything. You will enjoy life if you do istikhara. And don't be stingy with yourself. And don't say, no, this thing does not need istikhara. Everything needs istikhara. You don't know where goodness is. And you don't know where evil is. So when you rely upon Allah to guide you, then ultimately goodness is there, even if it appears to be evil to the people. Allah knows that that thing is good for you. Even if it is imprisonment, Allah knows that it is good for you. Even if it is death, Allah knows that it is good for you. And the list goes on. So today, from today, the very next decision you have to make, brother in Islam, don't deprive yourself. Make wudu, choose any voluntary prayer, intend to pray istikhara, do the salah and memorize the dua in Arabic. If you have not, which you should, you may read it from a piece of paper. In which case you should do it after the taslim. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Pull out that book or that paper where the salah is there and read it from a piece of paper until you have memorized it. But you should memorize it, so you will not be reading from a paper for the rest of your life. It's like a surah in the Quran. If you can memorize Surah Al-Adiyat, you can memorize Dua Al-Istikhara. But let's make it part of our lives, and inshallah you will see the fruits of this sunnah which has been abandoned. And you will praise Allah that He guided you to practice it, even though many Muslims have abandoned it. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد أقم الصلاة. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.